Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show. Getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Kicking off the weekend in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina, the first ever series between the Woodpeckers and the Hickory Crawdads continues tonight. It's game 4 of 6 from downtown Fayetteville, Segra Stadium, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Hey everybody, welcome upstairs inside the Woodpeckers broadcast booth and a very happy start to your weekend. Thanks for spending some of this Friday with us, Andrew Chapman, alongside Ryan Zimmerman, welcoming you in on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB app for our online radio feed, Bally Live and MILB.TV if you'd like to watch tonight's broadcast in HD video quality. The Woodpeckers have a 2-1 series lead. They jumped out in front of the Crawdads this week with a torrid comeback last night. They scored 10 unanswered runs, Ryan, after falling behind 5-0. It was an uncharacteristic start for Luis Rodriguez, where one of Fayetteville's best surrendered 5 runs. The defense committed 4 errors yesterday, but boy, the offense woke up in the second half of the game.
Before I get into that, Chappie, first and foremost, happy August.
Oh, man.
Today is
yeah.
August 1st,
no kidding.
And we have officially entered the final full month of the regular season. Where has all the time gone? But back to what you were talking about, this offense just took advantage of the opportunities provided to them. Of the 10 runs they scored last night, 9 came with 2 outs, and all 5 runs in their 5-run sixth inning also came with 2 outs. Perhaps the Woodpeckers got a little lucky as a Kedward Trujillo check swing on a 3-2 count went his way. Yeah. What happened in the next 2 at-bats? An Anthony Wazo 2-run single that somehow found its way through the left side of the infield, and Caden Powell delivered a 3-run shot. In this sport, you have to make your own luck. Mm-hmm. You got to take advantage of the opportunities provided to you, and you know what they did. After going 0-10 with runners in scoring position on Tuesday, they rectified that by going 4-9 in such situations last night.
Yeah, they capitalized in those run-producing spots. It is a little bit breezy. We're expected to get some light rain in the area in about 10 minutes. That should not affect the game drastically. We're on schedule for a 7:05 p.m. first pitch in Game 4 of this series. And tonight for the Woodpeckers, they turn to the 20-year-old right-hander, Raimi Rodriguez. It's been a very successful second season for Raimi in Fayetteville. He's 3-4 with a 4.27 ERA. Meanwhile, for Hickory, they go with right-hander Anudis Mejia. The Crawdads had to rearrange their starting rotation a little bit, Ryan, this weekend because of the trade deadline. Everything on schedule, though, for Fayetteville, despite some trades out of their locker room as well.
I'll start by addressing Hickory's rotation first. Yeah. Garrett Horn was the original starter for tonight's contest. He was traded to the Minnesota Twins. David Hageman was set to go tomorrow. He got traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Fortunately for the Woodpeckers, the only member of their rotation to get traded this week was Twine Palmer, yeah, who threw on Tuesday, so that did not mess with Fayetteville's rotation at all. But back to Rodriguez, he has been outstanding as of late. Had a tough go against Salem on July 19th. Ended up getting a no decision after lasting just 1 inning, allowing 5 runs, 4 earned, because of an offensive resurgence following a suspension. But he rebounded quite nicely as part of a shutout win in Fredericksburg. Didn't qualify for the win, but went 4 scoreless innings to get back on track. This is a guy that when he's on, and we saw that in his last start.
Yeah, he has a Carolina League Pitcher of the Week award this year, as does Treadwell, and the current reigning Pitcher of the Week, Dylan Howard. But it's Raimi's game tonight to get things started against Anudis Mejia, 3-5 with a 7.65 ERA. Carolina League standings picture entering today. Fayetteville has made up some ground on first place over the last 2 nights. They have won consecutive games, while the Carolina Mudcats have lost consecutive games. And Fayetteville now sits 5 games out of first place behind 20-11 Carolina. Fredericksburg at 17-13, now just 2.5 games away from first. Fayetteville 2.5 back of Fredericksburg in third at 15-16. First half, Lynchburg is in fourth. They are null and void during the second half. Salem is at 13-28 games out, and Delmarva rounds out the North Division standings of 11-21, 9.5 out of first place. Meanwhile, in the South Division race, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans have a 3.5 game lead over the field at 23-9. Charleston and Hickory are tied 3.5 games back. Augusta fourth, Kannapolis fifth, and the first half champ Columbia Fireflies, they have stunk it up in the second half, for lack of a better term, but they're playing postseason baseball anyways at 10-22 in the second half of play. And with the standings picture, let's go ahead and take a look at the starting lineups for tonight's ball game, beginning with the visiting Hickory Crawdads, 20-13 in the second half, 53-45, the overall record for Carlos Maldonado's club. Leading things off tonight, Jeremy Cabrera, the center fielder and leadoff man. Maxton Martin, DH, is in bats second. Antonis Macias, he is the three hitter and playing defensively at second base. Braylon Morrell, the right fielder, is the cleanup man, and Ben Hartle hits fifth. He'll do the catching. Hector Osorio in left field bats sixth. The 7, 8, 9 are Marcus Torres, the first baseman, Luis Marquez, the shortstop, and Esteban Mejia, the third baseman. And once again on the mound, right-hander Anudis Mejia, the 21-year-old from Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic, 3-5 with a 7.65 ERA. And for the home team, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, they come in 15-16 in the second half. A win tonight gets them back to the 500 mark. 51-46, their overall record tonight, game 98 of the regular season, and home game number 51. The red-hot Anthony Huezo will lead it off. He plays in center. Caden Powell, the shortstop, hits second. He had a big night yesterday as well. Hansel Villarreal, the DH, is third. And Alberto Hernandez hits cleanup. He'll be at second base. Hector Salas in left field batting fifth. Wander Luciano is sixth. He plays at third. Raylene Perez, the 7 hitter, is out in right field. Jason Schiavone is the catcher. He bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup card is the first baseman, Justin Trimble. A reminder that you can listen and watch tonight and track the live stats, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, the MILB app for the online radio feed, Bally Live, and MILB.TV, where you can watch the game for free as well in HD video quality. And to track the live stats, go to the MILB Game Day feature either on the app, or you can head to the Woodpecker website on that homepage, click the Game Day icon, and you can see all the live stats that we have right up here in the broadcast booth with us. It is video game night tonight at the ballpark, so you're going to hear a lot of Mario sounds and video games around the ballpark, and on top of that, Scout Night at the park, where some of the Boy Scouts will be camping at the ballpark after the game, and they join us tonight as well. Friday night crowd filing in. Fayetteville starter Raimi Rodriguez heads towards the mound, and we get ready to play some baseball. It's the Woodpeckers pregame show, and at this time, let's send it down to field level for the singing of the anthem. Friday night first pitch comes up next. Woodpeckers and Crawdads on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, at this time, we ask that you please rise and remove your caps as we honor our men and women who protect our country. Performing tonight's national anthem is Cumberland Choral Arts.
Proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad the 10 and under Western Hornet All-Stars, the Omega All-Star Cheerleading Squad, and the Fairmont Festival Queens, tonight's Deep Anna Fayetteville Field of Dreams team. Run, kids, run!
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball.
A three-run home run! And Cole drives one right field! That ball is gone!
Here comes the cutoff throw to the plate. He dives in, and he is saved! He's saved!
He's onto the warning track, at the wall, leaping up, and he brought it back.
Down the line, and Matthews has walked it off for the Woodpeckers!
Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers baseball is live on the air. Time to kick off the weekend in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. It is game 4 of 6 between the Woodpeckers and the Crawdads on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Hey again, everybody. Welcome upstairs inside of the Woodpeckers broadcast booth. Andrew Chapman alongside Ryan Zimmerman. So glad to have you with us for video game night, scout night at the ballpark. Good Friday night fanfare filing in. And right-hander Ryan Rodriguez gets ready to twirl it tonight for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. He gets the ball for 15-16 Fayetteville, 51-46, the overall record for the Peckers. The Crawdads at second place in the South Division at 20-13, 53-45 overall. And if you're tuning in for the first time this week, this is the first time that fans get to watch the Hickory Crawdads play in downtown Fayetteville, a ball club that was in the South Atlantic League a season ago, bumped down to the Carolina League at the start of this year with the newly minted Spartanburg franchise, the Hub City Spartanburgers, taking over the high A spot in Rangers affiliation. First pitch of our night is out, and it's a backdoor slider for strike one to the lefty Jeremy Cabrera. We are officially underway on this Friday night at 7:09 p.m. Here's a soft line drive off the end of the bat into shallow center field, and it dunks down for a hit. Jeremy Cabrera starts out this ball game with a leadoff single. And right as this ball game begins, a light rain starts to fall and sends many of the spectators who just found their seats heading towards the overhangs.
Boy, Mother Nature sure knows how to time it out.
That's right. This is some sort of a joke. I mean, right as the first ball is put into play, it starts to rain. Maxton Martin is the new lefty in, and he takes a fastball at 95 up and outside, ball one. Maxton Martin, the Richland, Washington native, a spin and a throw to first. The pickoff attempt is wide and caroms off of the sidewall. Cabrera gets to his feet and hustles to second. Not sure if the rain affecting the grip for Raimi Rodriguez, but he twirled around and sidearmed it well to the left of Justin Trimble. And he did not have a chance to make a play on that baseball.
Well, speed kills. Cabrera's had a reputation for being a really good base stealer in this league. Number 10 in the Carolina League at 35 stolen bases. That captured Rodriguez's attention, and he just lost the handle on the pickoff.
Rodriguez misses outside with another fastball, falls behind Martin. Two balls and no strikes. Maxton Martin batting 260 over 90 games this summer. 9 home runs and 55 driven in. He carries a 339 on base. Rain's starting to come down a little harder now, and a breeze gusting out towards left center field, out towards the rocking porch. And again, we were told that this should not last too long, but it is heavy enough right now to affect play. Raimi Rodriguez peers towards second, checks the base runner Cabrera, throws home, and delivers a strike on the high outside corner. Elena Giorgio is the plate umpire tonight. And Brandon Smith works the bases. The umpires in black ball caps, black polos, and dark gray pants. 3-1 the count. The kick home. And a fastball misses up and outside. Rodriguez walks Maxton Martin. All four of his misses were not particularly close. And as Rodriguez receives the baseball back from Schiavone, he's trying to dry off his pitching hand on the back of his pant leg. James Wiseman, Fayetteville pitching coach, will call for time, head out there, and not only calm down Raimi Rodriguez, but perhaps try and be the weatherman a little bit here and see if a brief pause in the action can get the rain to slow a bit.
You know, I'm looking at the radar right now.
What do we have, Ryan? I see a lot of colors across North Carolina today.
There are, but over the next hour or so, the rain is going to happen around Fayetteville, but not in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. So this is just a pop-up shower, like you said, and just like that, the rain has started to slow a little bit, but we're still about, I want to say, 15 to 20 minutes away from it passing for now.
That's what our field manager, head groundskeeper Joseph Golding, was telling us right before first pitch. Rami Rodriguez, regardless, has to pitch through the elements and work around first and second, nobody out. And the switch hitter batting from the left side, Antonio Macias, standing in. First pitch to him, misses down and inside. It's one ball and no strikes. Rami Rodriguez with 71 and two-thirds innings of work this year. 50 walks, 75 strikeouts. That walk rate is higher than you'd want it, but he has lowered it a bit from last season, where he walked 76 and struck out 90. Missed inside with a cutter, and it's two balls and no strikes on Macias, a 267 hitter on the year in 90 games. A look to second base where Cabrera leads. Next pitch, misses low. And again, Rodriguez is missing by a wide margin right now, not really working the edges. Rain has slowed a bit, but still a breeze cutting through Rodriguez. 3-0 the count. And the pitch way outside, ball four. And the runners will advance. It took a moment for Macias to unbuckle the gear, and the base runners did not immediately advance. The Crawdads dugout, I think, was yelling balk. They wanted a Brandon Smith, the base umpire, to call a balk. He did not. Regardless, the bases are loaded with Cabrera at third, Martin at second, and Macias down to first. Rodriguez still trying to dry his pitching hand on the back of his right pant leg. Braylon Morrell now in, and he watches the first pitch miss downstairs, ball one. Next offering misses down and away. And Rodriguez showcasing some clear frustration right now as he tries to find the target. Here's the motion and the 2-0. It misses up and outside. Three balls and no strikes. Eight straight balls for Rami Rodriguez, and now he's walked towards the back of the hill. And he has called for time from Brandon Smith, removes his ball cap, and is just trying to do some deep breathing, a little bit of meditating behind the mound to hone himself in. Ball four gives the Crawdads the early lead. Here comes the wind and the 3-0 toss. Way inside, it nearly hits Morrell. Another four-pitch walk, and that brings home Cabrera. 1-0 Crawdads in the top of the first inning.
Hard to say how much of a factor the rain has on Rodriguez's slow start, but this is part of the growing pains for a young prospect. Rodriguez himself, just 20 years old, and one of the biggest things he's had to work on is his consistency and handling his emotion on the mound. Well, he's right in the pressure cooker. Bases loaded, one run in, still nobody out. Here's a good test.
And here's Hartle. Ben Hartle looking at strike one on a slider. Crowd shows their appreciation for that strike. 16 pitches, four strikes for Rami Rodriguez in this first inning as he tries to lock in, gets his sign, motions, and throws the 0-1. Misses a little bit low to Hartle. And Hartle's having a good week on the road in his first three games, 4-for-9, with a pair of runs driven in, a walk, and three strikeouts. Here's the 1-1, and a changeup right down the middle for a called strike two.
Well, Rodriguez is about to cross the 20-pitch threshold. There is a possibility he doesn't make it out of the first by hitting his 35-pitch-per-inning cap.
See if he can get something on the ground, perhaps. The 1-2 is tipped and to the backstop. Did Hartle make contact? He believes that he did not. The first base was occupied, so he was not able to advance, but the run does come home from third. Maxton Martin scores, and it's 2-0 Crawdads. But it sounded like he might have tipped that baseball, but Hartle gave it away when he started to run up the first baseline. And Raimi Rodriguez, that's a tough break. He struggled with command, and his strike three pitch unfortunately brings a run home.
That is a really bad break, and you could see the pause from both Rodriguez and Schiavone. They were convinced Hartle got a piece of that baseball, but it turns out to be a happy accident for the Crawdads.
Here's Hector Osorio standing into the left side, sixth batter of the inning, and takes the first pitch a little in for ball one. Osorio, the left fielder, has the high black Sox. Crawdads in their black uniforms today, the 1-0, misses wide. Black uniform with Dads in the big white script across the chest. White numeral on the back with a small red numeral on the front left of the jersey. Black belts with gray pants for the Crawdads and black batting helmets. The 2-0 wraparound slider hits the target, called strike one. Meanwhile, Fayetteville is in the classic home whites, the black ball cap with the Woodpecker logo on the front. White jersey, Woodpeckers in the team script across the front. Black numerals and nameplates on the back of those jerseys. Here's the pitch and a ground ball off the facing of the first base dugout. Black belts with white pants and a black pinstripe down the side of the leg for the Woodpeckers.
Well, good news at Segra Stadium. Looks like the rain has stopped for now.
Mm-hmm. Still some dark gray clouds moving overhead, but just a light drizzle to this stage. Two balls, two strikes. Here it comes. And a close slider just misses a nick outside. Fills the count on Osorio. Open base at first. Rodriguez has walked three in the inning and allowed a pair of runs to come home. Three balls and two strikes. The payoff pitch is bounced along the right side and foul towards the rain tarp.
Well, just like that, the rain's back. I just had to point it out.
And meteorologist Ryan Zimmerman going to take a break for 20 minutes.
There's a reason they pay me to call baseball, yeah, not predict the weather.
The umbrellas and the ponchos are popping up around the seats. Here's the called strike three pitch on a high slider. Osorio down looking. Raimi Rodriguez fighting through the wind and what is now pretty heavy rain to pick up the second out. Marcus Torres now stands in. Rodriguez went to the rosin bag behind the hill to get things started. He wipes his right hand on the pant leg again and asks for a new baseball. He just wants something that has been in the umpire's pocket. Torres is ready and swings late on a first pitch fastball, nothing and one.
Last night was his first game of the series, and he made it count, a three-hit night.
And now Torres has called for time. He's walking towards his dugout. The umpiring crew is coming together to have a conversation probably about whether or not they want to delay this game. Joseph Golding, head groundskeeper, is hustling out to the crew to look over the radar, check this rain cell, and see how much longer it's going to hang on top of us. It has been raining enough now to where the infield dirt is in danger of puddling up, and they have delayed this game. All hands on deck go into the rain tarp. Woodpeckers front office and grounds crew will roll it onto the diamond and hopefully get it on in time to preserve the infield. I think some cells just popping up right on top of us and making playing conditions too difficult for tonight, at least for now. Now, we are expecting some more rain to enter the Fayetteville area around 8:30 tonight, which could potentially put this game in jeopardy if we go into an extended delay here. This was supposed to be the light stuff before the heavy stuff later tonight, but it does warrant a rain delay as you start to see that glimmer across the infield dirt, and then it's starting to puddle up a little bit, but it's like the crew is going to be able to get the tarp on it just in time. So we have entered a weather delay, and we will step aside for a a brief pause, and then we'll try and get you somewhere else around the Astros farm system tonight. We'll see if we can tune you in to perhaps some action in Asheville, Corpus Christi, or Sugar Land. We've entered a rain delay in Fayetteville, top one, two outs with runners at second and third, and the Crawdads on top, 2-0. Stay tuned. Welcome back inside the Woodpeckers broadcast booth. For those of you just tuning in, no, we're not just playing video game music all night. It is video game night at the ballpark, but it is on pause for the moment. Heavy rain rolling through the Fayetteville area right as we got started. The Crawdads were able to score two runs by bases loaded walk and a drop third strike to take an early 2-0 lead. Raimi Rodriguez picked up a pair of outs. He was trying to pitch through the rain, and then it really started to pour here in Fayetteville. Now, we are monitoring more rain coming into the area around 8:30 tonight, and that's supposed to be a little more significant than what we're getting right now. So if we had to be honest with you right now in the booth, tonight's game is probably in a little bit of jeopardy, but we will bring you about half-hour updates regarding our game status here tonight. Since this game has started, it would have to be played in 9 innings complete if we did have a suspension tonight by rule, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. In the meantime, we will send you to another broadcast around the Astros affiliate system. The Corpus Christi Hooks are currently on the road in northwest Arkansas, taking on the Naturals as part of a completion of a suspended contest, and then they have another game later on tonight. But in the meantime, we will send you over to the voice of the Corpus Christi Hooks, Michael Coffin, and News Radio 1360 KKTX Corpus Christi. They have the call for the Corpus Christi Hooks tonight, and we will send you that way in just moments. Here in Fayetteville, Hickory leading 2-0 in the top of the first during this rain delay.
Board watching at the end of the season and
left him today, but they lead by five. We go to the eighth inning, Northwest Arkansas 7 and CC 2.
For the best residential, commercial, or auto glass sales and repair company in the Coastal Bend, Brother Dave and the crew at Evans Glass Service are there for you. Whether it's a simple ding in your windshield, a designer shower door, or something dynamic like bulletproof or impact-resistant glass, Evans has you covered. And now offering window tinting. Life can be unpredictable at times, so Evans Glass has 24-hour emergency service. Call Evans Glass at 884-3995 or stop by 101 SPID Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon. Evans Glass Service, where they specialize in service.
Hooks fans, look for the Astros Foundation Share to Care 50-50 raffle. One winning ticket will be selected each game at Whataburger Field, with the winner receiving half of the net raffle proceeds and a Coastal Bend nonprofit taking home the other half. Since 2021, Hooks fans have donated over $290,000. Do you know of a Coastal Bend nonprofit that would like to become a beneficiary of the Share to Care 50-50 raffle? Let us know by checking out the community section at cchooks.com.
At Goodwill South Texas, your path matters. Whether you're looking for your next job opportunity or to learn new skills, we offer free job training and placement programs to help you unlock your full potential. When you donate and shop at Goodwill South Texas, you're helping fund our purpose of putting people back to work. Your path, your potential, our purpose. Goodwill South Texas, helping people get back to work since 1948. Visit GoodwillSouthTexas.com to learn more.
Well, Trevor Austin, 5 for his last six with a walk. Austin, 3 hits here in game 3 of the series, leading off the eighth inning. The sun really breaking through now as Cruz Noriega delivers, missing down and in. Ball one. Hooks trailing here 7-2. Down to their final 6 offensive outs. And the pitch, Austin takes inside. Hooks resuming and the Naturals resuming a suspended game from last night, resuming it at 4:32 today. As Austin pops it foul back over this way, 2-1. After this game is resolved, and following a 35 or so minute intermission, we'll have game 2 of the doubleheader. The nightcap game 4 of the 6-game series. Breaking ball in the inside corner for a strike. Game scheduled for 7, and we'll have the full coverage for you We'll also have the pregame show about 15 minutes before first pitch. Now the 2-2, and a ground ball toward the middle, and it's picked up by Dickerson, off-balance throw, and over to first base, not in time. And so Trevor Austin has a four-hit day. Four singles by Trevor Austin. Young man from Jefferson City, Missouri, getting it done. Hooks have their sixth hit of the day. And it brings up Pascanel Ferreras. A breaking ball for a strike by Cruz Noriega. Noriega pitching in the bright sunshine. Home plate in the shadows. As Ferreras fouls it back over this way. Nothing and two the count. Hooks down here by five runs, trying to get something going. Leadoff man on in the eighth inning. And the pitch. And a swing and a miss by Paz. A strikeout by Noriega. Elevated fastball clocked at 94. First strikeout by Cruz Noriega, the ninth for Naturals pitching. It brings up Garrett Guillemette. Guillemette one for two. Here he swings, lines one to left field. Nevins on the run, picks it up on a bounce. Trevor Austin stopping at second. Hooks have a couple of base hits now in the eighth inning. And here is Bryce Willits. Willits 0 for 3 today, but with an RBI. Austin at second, Guillemette at first, and now Willits trying to help the Hooks take a bite out of this five-run deficit. Noriega pitching a curveball in for a strike, nothing and one to Bryce, lefty hitter. Bullpen quiet behind Noriega at 30 pitches. Came on to get the final out of the sixth, leaving the bases loaded. This pitch in the dirt. Nice stop by Rodriguez there behind the plate. Nothing and two the count. Austin at second. A four-hit day by Trevor. Garrett Guillemette reaching for a third time. His second single of the afternoon. He's at first. Two on and one out for Willits. The pitch. And a breaking ball down and away. Willits taking it for ball one. Noriega, the third man to pitch for the Naturals. 27-year-old from Venezuela. Checks on second, now delivers, and he's off the outside. Fastball at 93 that time. Two balls and two strikes to count. And here's the pitch. And, boy, Noriega hit his spot there on the outside corner. Fastball fills things up at three balls and two strikes. Noriega has his sign. And the pitch. And it's low for ball four. Willits draws a walk. Bryce got behind early, nothing in two, but winds up coaxing a free pass, and that loads the bases for the Hooks. They have had their chances this week, have been unable to come through. Let's see if RJ or Ryan Johnson can make something happen before RJ bats. Larry Carter comes out, the Naturals pitching coach, talking with Noriega. Noriega on for the 15th time this year. A 7.45 earned run average. 20 strikeouts, 5 walks, 23 hits allowed, including 4 homers, and 19 and a third. second outing for Noriega against the Hooks. Hooks torching this right-hander on June the 29th. Zach Cole and Luis Baez hitting homers off of Noriega. Who allowed seven runs on seven hits in two and a third at Whataburger Field on June the 29th. Pitch to Ryan Johnson, and Johnson takes inside, ball one. RJ, three hits yesterday, or on Wednesday, a couple of doubles and a bunt base hit. Here's the pitch, and that's down by Noriega. Two balls and no strikes, now the count. Johnson has been consistent even through that long stint on the injured list. Here comes the pitch, and it's inside. Johnson hitting safely in 16 of 23 games for the Hooks, in which he's had a plate appearance. And he's hitting .286 with men in scoring position. Here comes the 3-0, and it's inside. Was not close. Johnson draws a four-pitch walk to drive in a run. Now a four-run game at 7-3. And with that, we'll see some action in the natural bullpen. Guillemet going to third. Willits taking second. And Johnson now at first base. Left-hander warming for the Naturals. Christian Chamberlain as Miguel Palma takes ball one. So Noriega laboring and fading here in the eighth inning. Now a visit on the mound. Buying some time for the bullpen as Christian Chamberlain gets loose. For Ryan Johnson, the RBI free pass, giving him 10 ribs now in 25 games with the Hooks. Drove in Trevor Austin, who had a leadoff base hit. Guillemet now at third, Willits at second, and Johnson at first base with a 1-0 count on Miguel Palma. Palma began the seventh inning with a walk against Cruz Noriega. Palma, the tying run at the plate. And the pitch, and a slider by Noriega was not close off the outside. Two balls and no strikes to count. Hooks trying to come back on this Friday evening here in the Ozarks. And the pitch. And inside to Palma. Noriega not close here. 3-0. Palma 0-for-2 with the bases loaded this season. And now the pitch. And a fastball missing in. A four-pitch walk to Palma. And so back-to-back walks by Noriega on eight total pitches. And it's now a three-run game at 7-4, and that's going to be it for Cruz Noriega. As the Naturals go to the bullpen for the lefty Chamberlain. So Cruz Noriega, he had retired for the first five that he faced. But here in the eighth inning, five of six reaching base. Two runs are home, three men on. There's one away for the top of the order. It'll be lefty against lefty. Joseph Sullivan against Christian Chamberlain. When we come back, a pitching change break. Hooks down 7-4 here in a long eighth inning. Hooks trying to make the most of this rally. Again, bases full, two runs in, and one away. a pitching change break, and we're back with more of Hoops Baseball after this here on News Radio 1360 KKTX.
Get your fix of the hottest Astros gear straight from the source. Visit the Astros Center Field team store for the best variety of jerseys, caps, collectibles, or even gifts. We've got everything you'll need to show off your Astros fandom or surprise the Astros fan in your life. Stop by the Center Field team store Monday through Saturday for the ultimate retail experience. View team store hours and find out more information at astros.com/team store.
Baseball season is here, so make sure you gear up for another exciting season at Whataburger Field with the Corpus Christi Hooks. At our official team store, Hook, Line, and Sinker, you can grab a shirt, jersey, or hat from top brands featuring a new set of logos for our 20th season in the Coastal Bend. Plus, get your Houston Astros looks, including the new City Connect and Authentic Collections. Shop now at cchooks.com/shop today and earn free shipping on orders over $100.
Well, Hook's not going anywhere. They were down by five entering this inning. Now it's a three-run deficit. Bases loaded, one out, as Joseph Sullivan takes a pitch inside for ball one. Christian Chamberlain now on the mound for the Naturals, their fourth pitcher of the day. Lefty against lefty, the pitch, and it's off the outside. Two balls and no strikes to Sullivan. Sullivan 8-for-28. Over his first eight double-A games, including a couple of home runs and a double. 0-for-4 tonight. Here's the 2-0, and a fastball for a strike at 93 on the outside edge. The count 2-1. Chamberlain got the victory on Tuesday, working 1 1/3. Now the 2-1, a breaking ball missing high. Three balls and a strike. Chamberlain yielded an RBI base hit to Pasquinel Ferreras. He also walked Trevor Austin and Garrett Guillemet, yielding one run while recording four outs. The pitch and a foul ball right over our broadcast booth off the bat of Sullivan. Now a full count to Sully with one out and the base is loaded. Willits at third, Johnson at second, and Miguel Palma at first base. Johnson and Palm both with bases full, walks. Hooks have only one RBI hit today. Here's the pitch. And there's a swing and a drive left center field. Rocafort on the run, reaching out. Rocafort makes a dashing catch. Willits tags from third. Johnson over from second on the fly ball that was caught by Rocafort. I thought off the bat that was going to drop. Rocafort covering a ton of ground here this week in center field, taking away a base hit in right center earlier today. This is a fine play for the second out of the eighth. Officially a sack fly by Sullivan. Sullivan now with seven double-A RBIs in nine games. A three-run frame, so now it's a two-run contest, 7-5. Pitch to Wes Clark. Clark grounds one to shortstop, backhanded by Dickerson, and he throws to second as they force Miguel Palma. 6-4. Hooks, though, get three runs to get two runs closer. And we go to the last of the eighth inning. And it's the Naturals 7 and your Hooks 5.
Are you ready to party at the premier entertainment venue in South Texas? Not only is Whataburger Field home of the Corpus Christi Hooks, our ballpark by the bay also plays host to public and private events year-round. From music festivals to weddings, Whataburger Field is the perfect backdrop for functions in Corpus Christi. The ballpark boasts a bevy of turnkey event spaces, including the Citgo Cotton Club, which provides unmatched panoramic views of Whataburger Field, Corpus Christi Bay, and the downtown skyline. Also, check out the Hooks' first-class luxury suites, as well as the Valero Champions Corner. Our bar and grill on the third base concourse, and team building is a breeze. Batting practice on a professional baseball diamond, corporate kickball games, and park-wide scavenger hunts are just a few of the ways to party at the Hooks Yard. Make your next event unique and memorable by joining us at Whataburger Field. For more information, call 361-561-HOOK or visit cchooks.com. Again, that's cchooks.com.
Texas Farm Bureau members get free tickets to Hooks games on Sundays. Just show proof of your membership at the Whataburger Field ticket office to get two free tickets to a Sunday home game while supplies last. Stop by a Texas Farm Bureau insurance office today and learn how you can become a member and get free tickets. Remember, this offer is exclusive to Texas Farm Bureau members, valid at Sunday home games, and only good while supplies last. So become a member today. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, proud partners of Hooks Baseball.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Mariners 3, 4, and 5 do. Right now, 7 to 5. The Hooks are trailing. Last of the eighth, the Milk Cartrino is facing Gavin Cross. And Cross swings, and he lines a base hit in the center field. Naturals have their ninth knock of the day. Trino's back-to-back K's to finish the seventh. Now facing Brett Squires with one on and nobody out in the eighth. Naturals had 7-5. They got two unearned runs in the third and then five in the fifth. Hooks, who led 2-0 after three, or after two and a half, scoring three in the eighth to make it now a two-run game as Trinos misses off the outside to Brett Squires. Ball one. Squires had four hits on Tuesday, a triple shy of the cycle. Today, one for three, an RBI single and a walk. And the 1-0, and off the plate by Trinos. Two balls and no strikes to count. Mentioned that Squires was a triple shy of the cycle. As Chirinos works out of the stretch, runner goes, the pitch off the plate. Guillemette throws down to second. Off the bag is Cross, and he's tagged out by Johnson. Gavin Cross overslid second base. So caught ceiling goes 2-6. And now one out, and the count 3-0 on Squires. Squires, he leads the Texas League with seven triples on the year. Didn't get one on Tuesday. Four hits, including a double and a home run. As Trinos just misses the outside corner ball four, so Squires on for a third time, a third straight time. And here is Spencer Nivens. Second walk by Chirinos, and now nine issued by the Hook staff. Nivens has walked three times today, scoring a run. Also reached via an error in the third. That allowed the two unearned runs to come home. Costly two-out miscue. A strike by Chirinos, a fastball at 92. And the count, nothing and one. Sun breaking through the clouds. An extremely comfortable night here in the Ozarks. Here's the pitch by Chirinos and a strike, a fastball in the outside corner. Nothing into the count to Nivens. Chirinos first base side of the rubber. And the 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Nivens strikes out. That was the good changeup by Amilcar. Third punch out by Chirinos, giving the Hooks nine on the evening. And in steps Justin Johnson. Johnson is 0-3. A walk, an RBI, and a run scored in the fifth inning. Takes a pitch that missed in, ball one. Now Chirinos at 3.12 in 15 games for the Hooks this season. And the 1-0. And a swing and a fly ball. Foul. Willits over. It's out of play. Chirinos with three strikeouts tonight. Emil Carr with 19 Ks in 19 double-A innings, yielding 17 hits and 12 walks and 6 earned runs. And the 1-1, and a liner in the center field for a base hit. Sullivan charging there in the sun-splashed green grass. Johnson at first, Squires at second. Two out, and the batter is Sam Ruta. Squires at second, and Johnson at first base. And here comes the pitch. And Ruta waves and misses, strike one. Ruta 1-for-3 today. With a bases full walk in the fifth, giving him 32 RBIs in 51 games. Chirinos' right foot on the rubber. And the 0-1. And he misses off the outside. One ball and one strike. Chirinos, 23 years old, from Valencia, Venezuela. Delivers the 1-1 pitch, and he misses up and outside. Two balls and a strike. Chirinos pitching on Tuesday night. He stranded both runners that he inherited. Three Ks and two scoreless innings. And the 2-1 pitch and a fastball low. 3-1 now to Ruta. Squires at second and Johnson at first base. And now the pitch. And a ground ball through the middle for a base hit. Squires being sent home in a throw into second base. RBI knock by Sam Ruta. And now the throw coming home and the tag by Guillemette. And out at home is Justin Johnson. Guillemette impacted there at home plate. Guillemette slow to get up as he lunged for the runner. And I'm not sure if Johnson just ran through a stop sign or what's up, but a collision there at home plate. Guillemette getting the out, and that ends the eighth inning. The Naturals, though, get a run to further their edge, and we go to the top half of the ninth, and it's the Naturals 8 and the Hooks 5.
Planning a company outing or family get-together? Your Hooks have 14 turnkey hospitality spaces for fiestas big and small. We've got suites, decks, and a new concourse terrace. And as you know, summers in South Texas need a sidekick, so why not take a dip in our pool? The Hooks will handle your event from start to finish, making sure you've got food, drinks, and, of course, exceptional customer service. So knock it out of the ballpark by booking your next outing at Whataburger Field. For details, call 361-561-HOOK or visit cchooks.com.
For over 15 years, Homefield, the outdoor living store, has provided Texas with the finest in outdoor living products and services. From our custom pergolas and pavilions, quality patio furniture, big green egg barbecue grills, spring-free trampolines, American-made gold setter basketball goals, to the world-renowned rainbow play systems, Homefield is your one-stop shop to enrich your outdoor lifestyle. Our Corpus Christi location is at 1126 SPID between Greenwood and West Point. Stop by today or call 361-853-7926 and catch the Homefield advantage.
iHeart is America's number number one podcast network. Open the free iHeart app and explore podcasts like this.
Have you ever wondered if your pet is lying to you?
Why is my cat not here? And I go in and she's eating my lunch.
Or if hypnotism is real?
You will use the suggestion in order to enhance your cognitive control.
What's inside a black hole?
Black holes could be a consequence of the way that we understand the universe.
Well, we have answers for you in the new iHeart original podcast, Science Stuff. Join me, Jorge Cham, as we tackle questions you've always wanted to know the answer to about animals, space, our brains, and our bodies. So give yourself permission to be a science geek and listen to Science Stuff.
Listen on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and listen now.
Natural's getting a run in the eighth. Restored to a three-run game now, 8-5. Hawks have 3, 4, and 5 due here in the ninth inning. Orlando Martinez leads things off for CC. Lefty against lefty. Christian Chamberlain on the mound for the Naturals, and Martinez fouls one back. It is strike one. Orlando, after a 10-game hitting streak was snapped in his prior game, Orlando is 1-for-3 today. A run scored and a walk. The pitch, a breaking ball for a strike on the inside corner. And the count is nothing and two. Christian Chamberlain got a fly ball and a ground out in the eighth inning. Here's a ground ball to the third baseman, Johnson. He's up with it. Throws a fastball to first base to get Martinez. One away now for Christian Chamberlain. Trevor Austin, a four-hit day. Austin, the fifth hook, to have a four-hit game. Trevor, 6 hits over his last 7 at-bats. Pitch by Chamberlain, a breaking ball by Chamberlain. Comes in for a strike. Left-hander delivers, and that's off the outside corner. One ball, one strike. Nice crowd shaping up here at Arvest Ballpark. Ball game originally scheduled for 7:05 tonight. Pitches down and in. And as we approach the top of the hour here on News Radio 1360 KKTX Corpus Christi, we're playing here in the last of the top of the ninth. Hawks down to their final 2 outs. Austin lines a drive to left field. Well, foul. 2 balls, 2 strikes. We'll have about a 30-minute intermission between games and then another game coming up later on tonight. Contest scheduled for 7 frames. And the fans here will be treated to fireworks after Texas League Baseball today. 2-2 pitch in the dirt. Did he go? Yes, a swing, says first base umpire Chandler Durham. Austin retired for the first time today on a check swing. I'm not so sure Trevor went around, but Austin now 4-5 on the day. And 6-8 in the series as Pascanel Ferreras bats. And the pitch, and Paz takes a low for ball one. High set by Chamberlain, he delivers, and Ferreira swings, high fly ball to center field, Rocafort over to his left, and Rocafort makes the catch over to his right, Rocafort makes the catch in left center field to end the ball game as the Hawks fall tonight by a score of 8-5. And we'll have more from Arvest Ballpark in Springdale right after this.
The free iHeartRadio app is number one for music, radio, and podcasts, all in one. Discover a new podcast from our library of over 350,000 titles. Here's an iHeartRadio podcast preview.
Listen, the reason I wanted to talk to you was
because... No, you don't want to talk to me.
But yeah, I do, actually.
Passenger List, a new mystery thriller from PRX's Radio Tokyo.
Utopia.
Breaking news tonight. Breaking news is out. A plane has crashed. Atlantic Flight 702.
The pre-flight checklist has like 30 different things to check. And 12 of them could bring down a plane on their own if they failed.
I have nothing to hide. You can ask me whatever you like.
You knew the plane was doomed. You work with criminals.
So that means I must be involved?
Have you considered that maybe it really was just an accident?
Dylan?
Don't call me again unless it's through the app. It's only safe if we both use it. So what do you want?
Starring Kelly Marie Tran, Colin Morgan, Patti LuPone, and Rob Benedict.
The public deserves to know the truth.
The public does know the truth. Flight 702 crashed in the Atlantic due to a bird strike. It's the only truth there is.
Caitlin Leigh?
Yes?
I'm Agent Gerard with the FBI. We need to talk.
Passenger List, a new mystery thriller.
Listen and follow this podcast for free on the iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Naturals knock off the Hooks by a score of 8-5. The Naturals have a 3-0 lead in the series, and we're back with more right after this.
Baseball season is here, so make sure you gear up for another exciting season at Whataburger Field with the Corpus Christi Hooks. At our official team store, Hook, Line, and Sinker, you can grab a shirt, jersey, or hat from top brands featuring a new set of logos for our 20th season in the Coastal Bend. Plus, get your Houston Astros looks, including the new City Connect and Authentic Collections. Shop now at cchooks.com/shop today and earn free shipping on orders over $100.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three, you're out.
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I volunteer with United Way to help the homeless in my community learn computer skills and build a basic resume. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, the Naturals knock off the Hooks by a score of 8-5. We'll have first pitch of game two of this doubleheader at 7:40. But up next, it's the weekend dive right here on News Radio 1360 KKTX.
Live coverage of the Hooks on News Radio 1360 KKTX is brought to you by Bud Light. Proud to present Bud Light Friday Fireworks Night at Whataburger Field.
Affordable family fun is the name of the game at Whataburger Field. On Tuesdays, Mike Shaw Automotive, 4 for 40, gets you 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, and 4 sodas for just $40. Wednesdays feature a buy one ticket, get one free deal with Whataburger Family Day. $3 Thursdays pour out discounts on ice cold draft beer and frozen margaritas. And Sundays are Dollar Day and H-E-B Kids Day. That means $1 hot dogs, soda, candy, and prize wheel spins. Don't forget, kids run the bases post-game. For the full lineup, visit cchooks.com/promotions.
Barley is the soul of Budweiser. That's why we've been working with the same family-owned American farms for more than 50 years to harvest it. The secrets to growing this grain perfectly have been passed down through three generations. For them, it's a legacy, and it's why only the best barley and locally sourced ingredients are used to make Budweiser. Budweiser is proudly raised across America. This Bud's from our barley farmers. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Thanks for listening to Corpus Christi Hooks Baseball. Live coverage has been brought to you in part by Whataburger. Cooking them big, hot and fresh, 24 hours a day. Stay tuned to your official home for Hooks Baseball all season long. This is Corpus Christi's News Radio 1360 KKTX.
world of current events. The Weekend Dive.
There's going to be tears. It is sad that this is all over, and this is the last time I'm going to put on an Iowa jersey.
There's overwhelming support for Ukraine among the majority of Democrats and Republicans. There should be a vote now.
Welcome into the Weekend Dive. I'm Rory O'Neill. This week, Congress returned to Washington after an Easter recess with a big and expensive agenda. Ukraine, Israel, Baltimore, and House Republicans seem divided over some issues and bills that may never reach the president's desk. We turn now to our White House correspondent, John Decker. John, a lot of pressure tactics are being used, but there's little consensus on the Hill.
Right now, that is correct. A lot of dysfunction in the House Republican Conference in particular. You have one member, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, who is threatening to oust the House Speaker. And, you know, typically one member, you know, vocally making that point would not get a lot of attention. But when you're talking about a very narrow majority in which one Republican can actually oust and bring down the Speaker, she gets a lot of attention with good reason.
But the current Speaker, Speaker Johnson, with that narrowest of majorities, did a lot to bolster his credibility in a news conference with former President Trump at Mar-a-Lago on Friday. So clearly a tactic to try to bring the party together behind the presumptive nominee.
Well, that was very effective on the House Speaker's part, trying to essentially isolate Marjorie Taylor Greene to show that there is not consensus for her point of view in terms of getting rid of the House Speaker. The leader for the Republican Party is Donald J. Trump. And the fact that he's meeting with the House Speaker, I think, sends a very strong message to those disaffected Republicans in the House who may be dissatisfied with his leadership as the House Speaker.
And speaking of pressure campaigns, the Biden administration is trying to pressure Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to get him to hold off on a military invasion of the Gaza city of Rafah, where so many Palestinians have fled since the response by Israel's forces to the October 7th attack.
Well, Israel has said from the start, you know, they have two objectives in particular. One is degrading, defeating Hamas, the group that began this war in the first place. And the other one is getting back those hostages that were abducted by Hamas back on October the 7th of last year. And both of those goals have not been achieved yet.
You know, October 8th, the White House, the Capitol, all would have been in support of helping Israel as quickly as possible with whatever they may need. But here we are 6 months and a week later. It's not that same level of support. And perhaps any further military assistance to Israel might come with some strings attached.
It might. You know, you see certain members of Congress in both the Senate and the House, particularly Democrats, but those in leadership saying there should be strings attached as it relates to providing that military funding for Israel. We're not there yet. President Biden has not changed his position on that yet, despite a lot of pressure that's coming from his Democratic colleagues at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. He still has certainly put the pressure on Prime Minister Netanyahu, but at the same time, he said that he has not changed his position as far as the U.S. being a strong ally of Israel.
And finally, in addition to holding the state dinner for the Japanese prime minister this week, President Biden did announce a new way to try to reduce student debt. This is something they keep on trying to nibble away at to achieve this campaign promise. But it is still a divisive issue, with many even liberal supporters of the president saying, hey, look, I paid back my college loans. I'm proud of the way I did it. You know, why are we giving some of these students a free ride?
Well, that's the argument that's been made. The administration using a different authority than the authority that was ruled unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. Back then, 2 years ago, it was the HEROES Act that the administration relied on to try to wipe away student loan debt. Now they're relying on the Higher Education Act. We'll see if that gets a court challenge as well. But this could potentially impact 30 million student loan borrowers who still have student loan debt associated with their attendance at a school of higher education.
A broad range of topics covered this week from the White House with our White House correspondent, John Decker. Hey, John, thanks for the update.
Thanks so much, Rory. Have a great day. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
directly or indirectly, abortion will be a big issue on the ballot this November. Recent court rulings in Florida and Arizona have made the issue front and center. Jessica Boehm is the Arizona-based reporter at Axios. And Jessica, why don't you first break down where did this case come from and what was the ruling?
So this case, this iteration of the case, came about after the Dobbs decision that sent abortion back to the states to decide. And the intention of this case was to figure out what abortion laws exist in Arizona now in this post-Roe world. What the Arizona Supreme Court decided is that a 2022 law that would have allowed abortions through 15 weeks did not repeal or replace a law from 1864, before Arizona was even a state, that says that abortion is to be illegal in all cases except for when necessary to save the mother's life.
What's been the response this week?
It's been a pretty wild couple of days. Basically, everyone is trying to figure out, A, the practical effects of when this will matter for women and when abortion providers could be criminalized for providing abortions. And then you also have a big political fallout of people realizing that this is going to be the issue at the ballot box in November.
So let's first talk about the practical then. Is abortion outlawed in Arizona right now? How does this work?
It is not outlawed in Arizona right now. So realistically, we're looking about 2 months until abortion will be illegal in almost every case in Arizona. Of course, there could be court challenges in that time. We're going to have to see what happens. But as of right now, it will be 2 months before this takes effect.
And what about the political fallout?
So some Republicans are being extremely quiet, and other Republicans are quick to distance themselves from this, particularly the Republicans running in tough races. Those Republicans in those tough races are trying to get to a place where they can say, no, I wanted the 15-week ban, not this total ban. And of course, that runs in contradiction to many things they've said before. This 1864 law is now going to be law in Arizona, and they are going to have to explain that to voters. And they're nervous. It's very clear.
So this should bump up voter turnout.
So we already are supposed to have a ballot measure in November in Arizona that would essentially take abortion back to how it was before the reversal of Roe, allowing abortions up to 24 weeks. It's expected to energize voters in an entirely different way. And I think you saw Democrats across the state really hitting this home, that this was because of Republicans, that this is not the last thing that's going to happen, that contraception and IVF are on the table in this world if they elect Republicans. So you've seen both sides really politically try to either lean in or lean away from this. And it will be one of the main topics of this election.
Reporter Jessica Boehm from Axios, based in Phoenix, with a look at this week's Supreme Court decision in Arizona on the issue of abortion. Jessica, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
A Trump trial preview next as the Weekend Dive continues.
Dive deep into the week's hottest news, the Weekend Dive.
Some of those kids are, that's real starvation stuff. I see it. goes up to the 33rd floor, which is Rudin management, and begins to walk the floor, firing rounds as he traveled.
Welcome back to the Weekend Dive. I'm Rory O'Neill. The new report is out this week ranking the best hospitals in America. Chelsea Nguyen is a senior health data analyst at U.S. News and World Report. And Chelsea, after doing all that number crunching, you must just be relieved that this list is finally ready for the public to see.
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole team of analysts that work together. We go through millions and millions of Medicare claims, so it's really a great feat, but it's very fulfilling at the same time.
All right, so what makes a great hospital compared to an average one?
We evaluate hospitals based on their patient outcomes and other process and structural measures. So the best hospitals are going to be displaying better mortality rates, better lower readmission rates. They're going to have lower complication rates as well. Other factors, they will have better patient experience scores. They'll be serving a greater number of patients as well. So that and many other things go into what defines a best or high-performing hospital.
Isn't there also an X factor in that, though? You know, that's that nice nurse, or it's that nice nurse practitioner, or that nice doctor you like. There is some sort of an X factor in getting that kind of care, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, healthcare is such a personal thing. So for some people, that component might be more important to them than other things. So, you know, if a patient is really interested in looking at that patient experience score, they're able to look at a hospital's specific performance on that metric on our website.
Now, you have a Best Hospitals Honor Roll. I was looking through the list at U.S. News and World Report. Many familiar names on that honor roll.
Some hospitals that have been on it for a while include Massachusetts General Hospital. Of course, we have Mayo Clinic in Rochester, as well as some of those New York hospitals like NYU Langone, as well as Houston Methodist Hospital.
What is it? I mean, they seem to be whole cities that are almost dedicated to the medical field. They really do seem to be whole communities. It's not just a standalone hospital. It really is a little network, its own little community.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some concentrations of some really great hospitals and really great care. But I think that's something that I noticed from this year is that there are excellent hospitals in almost every pocket of America. Even if they're not named as number one in the entire nation, they're still delivering really great care. They're receiving high-performing ratings from us. So I think that's highlighted by our best regional hospitals so that anywhere you live, you know, if you're in Miami, Florida, if you're in Dallas, Texas, there is a list of really great hospitals in your community that you can go to.
And at U.S. News and World Report, your team has been doing this for decades. So you've got a pretty good reputation for providing quality information for people who are probably in a pretty desperate time trying to seek out the best healthcare available.
You know, over those 30 years, I think that our organization has developed a really good relationship with hospital leaders, with clinicians in the space. And that has really allowed us to build a methodology that is clinically valid and is also very relevant to patients and at the center of the care that hospitals are providing.
But for the most part, don't people just go to the nearest hospital rather than, you know, shop around? I realize that in some expert fields, perhaps, but for the most part, they rely on their local hospital.
Yeah. It's definitely probably the best course of action to seek care in your local community. You know, traveling makes things so much more difficult logistically and, you know, it just aggravates things. So I think that's why we decided to highlight so many best regional hospitals. I think last year we identified 466, and this year is up to 504. So we're really trying to focus on, you know, helping Americans that live really anywhere in the country to be able to find a hospital that will have really great care for them.
I'm not sure I thought there were that many hospitals out there, but there must be thousands, right?
Yeah, we evaluate more than 4,400 hospitals in the United States, and I think about 13% of them received a Best Hospitals designation this year.
And I don't know, how am I supposed to use the data then that's in these reports? Do I just click through, find my city, and say, and say, okay, they said it's the best, so it's going to be best for me? Or is there more to it than that?
I think it's a good starting point. It's definitely not the end all be all of hospital performance. And I think what might be more useful to people is the search tool function on the website. So, you know, if you're looking for a specific procedure, let's say you're looking up where to get a knee replacement for yourself or maybe your parents, you can search, you can type in knee replacement and you can type in your zip code or your city. And that's going to make it really easy to find a hospital that matches your criteria. It'll bring up those hospital profiles so that you can compare and contrast. You can look at the measures that matter most to you because we'll publish that hospital's performance on each measure. And it's really just a starting point. You know, this can be used along with your doctor's advice, your friends and family's advice, you know, your community, and all of that comes together to make a really important healthcare decision.
And your data shows the best hospitals aren't confined to just the biggest cities.
The best regional hospitals, they span 49 states and I believe 95 metro areas. So while we do have some concentrations of really great care, of course, in, you know, New York City, honestly, any metro area that you look at, there's going to be at least a couple best regional hospitals that have that are rated as high performing in at least 8 of the procedures and conditions that we evaluate. So that's going to be a really great indicator of high quality hospitals.
Terrific. And go through that program again. So if I want, as you said, a knee replacement or a hip replacement, or I have cardiac illnesses, I can just go to your site and it's going to pick the closest, best hospital for me?
Yeah. So our website is www.usnews.com/hospitals. It will have all of the lists that are sorted by the region and by the state. And it will also have that search tool function that I mentioned before. So yeah, if you're looking for a COPD treatment in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you know, you can search that up and it'll show you the hospital. If you're looking for a COPD treatment in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you know, you can search that up and it'll show you the hospital.